Despite arguments over effectiveness and cost, New Jersey has long practiced what is called artificial beach nourishment, basically importing and pumping tons of sand to build up its storied shore. Much of that sand was swept away by Superstorm Sandy's massive surge. Another surge from the nor'easter that hit last night probably could not have helped. Cornelia Dean is a science writer for the New York Times and a writer in residence at Brown University. She recently wrote about the costs of shoring up coastal communities and joins us now with more. Cornelia, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
How long has New Jersey been practicing this artificial beach nourishment?
Since the middle of the 20th century.
So how does it build that build up there compared to other coastal states, for example?
How much do they use this technique compared to other states? New Jersey was the first coast to be really heavily developed, and it is the first coast that was really heavily engineered with all kinds of things, including beach renourishment. But lots of other states have done the same thing. It's done in California. It's done a lot in Florida. It's done in North Carolina. Virtually any beach community, let me put it this way. Most of the United States ocean coast is eroding. So many, many, many beach communities have looked for or done this technique to keep their beaches keep their beaches in place.
Right. And how much sand is brought in and the idea of the cost if you've got it?
It depends. It varies widely. For example, one town I wrote about in New Jersey, Avalon, had a project that in its first infusion a few years ago brought in 450,000 cubic yards of sand. And a typical dump truck holds about 10 cubic yards of sand. So that gives you an idea of how much sand we're talking about. It was pumped in from a nearby inlet. And the way they do this is they mix the sand with water into a slurry, and they run it through these big pipes and pump it and spray it out onto the beach, and the sand accumulates there. So the cost of these projects varies immensely, in part because of how far questions of how far people have to go to get the sand. Mm-hmm. In Avalon, they have an inlet right next to them that's a source of sand, but many other communities in New Jersey have to go offshore for offshore ridges of sand. And as we use up those supplies, they're going farther and farther and farther out, and that increases the cost.
Right. And what is the goal here? You mentioned shoring up the shore. Is it for tourism? Is it for protecting inland buildings, both?
Well, critics of this process will say that it would not be necessary if you were prepared to let buildings fall into the surf, because the beach, even in a time of rising seas with climate change, the beach has tremendous capacities to repair itself and reform and recover from storms. And the less development, the less building there is on it, the better it is able to do that by itself. However, advocates of this process will say we have a lot of infrastructure there. It depends for its safety on the beach, and our economy depends on that infrastructure. So they say, even though it's very expensive and it has to be done again and again and again, that in terms of economic benefits, it's worth it. It's a real hot argument among coastal environmentalists.
Well, especially now, I would imagine. I mean, we saw photographs from Point Pleasant Beach in New Jersey where protective dunes pretty much dumped into the streets.
Yes.
So were any coastal communities indeed buffeted by artificial beaches?
Were they? I'm sorry.
Did it help to have those beaches? Did it help?
I mean, yes. I spoke to a former director of public works in Avalon, and he said that dunes there held and the buildings didn't suffer a great deal of damage as a result. Advocates of these programs will say, even when the beach washes away, they will say the beach did what it was supposed to do. It protected the area behind it from the storm waves until it was, totally washed out, until it failed. And often when the sand washes away, sometimes it washes inland, but sometimes waves carry it offshore where it forms sandbars, which kind of break the waves a little bit. And that it offers a buffering effect. But what geologists will tell you is, going forward, this is not a long-term proposition.
Well, I'm thinking that if you're getting tons of sand from one place, moving it someplace else, I'm imagining that conservationists and environmentalists must not approve.
Well, compared to other steps that are done at the coast, compared to seawalls and bulkheads and revetments and that kind of thing, that kind of hard stabilization, it's called, that real heavy-duty coastal armor, if you put that kind of thing onto your beach and your beach is eroding, you are inevitably going to lose your beach because you're drawing a line in the sand and the water is moving in toward that line, and eventually everything will be underwater. So people think that beach replenishment is less troublesome environmentally than this kind of hard armor. However, there are many environmental questions about beach renourishment, not the least of which is the quality of the beach that you build with this imported sand, and whether birds and animals, and not an issue in New Hampshire, but sea turtles, whether they can nest in this sand. It's a huge issue for them. And also, what happens to the borrow site? What happens to the environment at the place where you went and got the sand?
Cornelia, just a half a minute left, but, you know, New Jersey's rebuilding now. Will it do it again? Is there any question at all of whether beach renourishment is even in the cards?
I think that they will do it again. I think that the political pressure in favor of this these projects is immense, and I'll be very surprised if they give it up.
Cornelia Dean, I want to thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cornelia Dean is a science writer for the New York Times. She's also now a writer in residence at Brown. And there's a link to her article, Costs of Shoring Up Coastal Communities, at wordofmouthradio.org. We will be back with more Word of Mouth after a short break.